As we turn our attention then to our study of God's Word this morning, I would encourage you to open to Hebrews chapter 10. I didn't get this put on the overhead where that we might be able to read it together, so please open your scriptures and read with me from Hebrews chapter 10. Before we do that, would you bow with me in prayer? Our loving Father, we come before thy most holy and righteous throne to praise your name. We give thee the thanks and the glory and the honor, and ask that you be with us as we worship and study from thy word this morning. Forgive us of our sins, Father. We pray that you will be with us and help us that we might be encouraged and strengthened and edified as we study together. In Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. Let me begin before we read that passage by asking if you have sinned this past week. Maybe you lost your temper or something, or became angry, or maybe took the Lord's name in vain in the process, or maybe you shaded the truth just a little bit sometime. Or maybe you failed to do something that you should have done. Maybe to visit and encourage someone, or to study of God's word, or spend time in prayer. Whatever it might be, have you sinned this past week? And what is your relationship with God as a result of that sin? How do you feel about your sin? Do you feel guilt? Do you feel an estrangement or a separation from God? Do you feel some condemnation maybe because of your sins? Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 59 and 1 and 2 that our sin separate us from God, and they cause him to hide his face from us, and that he will not hear. And Romans 6 and verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. In our passage here in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 30 and 31, the Hebrew writer says that God's the one who says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And of course, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 says, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Sin separates us from God. The consequences of sin is death. How do you feel regarding your sin? How can our sins be forgiven? I think sometimes we take forgiveness of sin too lightly. Maybe we look upon the forgiveness of sin as something that is expected. Maybe we think of it as something that God owes to us. Or maybe we just take it for granted, like it's there and it's always going to be there. So what? A lot more important things in life. Maybe taking it for granted. This passage in Hebrews chapter 10 speaks about the forgiveness of sin. It speaks about the way in which sin was dealt with in Old Testament time, and of the means of our forgiveness today. Read with me Hebrews 10, the first four verses to begin with, as he makes this comparison in Old Testament time, the Old Covenant and the animal sacrifices there in comparison with the New Covenant, he says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers once purged would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." This speaks particularly in reference to the dealing with sin in Old Testament time under the Old Testament covenant. And it speaks about the animal sacrifices. First, notice he points out that animal sacrifices did not forgive sin. Verse number 4, it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. In Old Testament time, for special sins, there would be a special sacrifice that might be required. For example, a sin of ignorance is spoken of in Numbers chapter 15, verses 27 and 28. And there, this particular sacrifice, which was a female goat, was to be taken when the sin of ignorance was committed to the priest so that he might offer it as a sacrifice for you if you committed a sin in ignorance. And there were many such specifications like that, where if you committed a certain type of sin, like the touching of a dead body or other things, there was a ceremonial cleansing that you were supposed to go through because of the touching of a dead body. So there were many different types of ceremonial cleansing and of sacrifices for particular sins. And there were daily sacrifices that the priests were to offer for themselves and for the people. There were weekly sacrifices that they offered every week. There were monthly sacrifices that they offered month by month. And then three times out of every year, there were the three major feasts when all of the males were together in Jerusalem and they were to all bring animals to be sacrificed at each one of those three feasts. And yet on top of that, there was the Day of Atonement, when the sins of the year were remembered and two goat sacrifices were to be made. One of them was to be killed and the blood sprinkled in various places in the temple and in the tabernacle. And the priest offered it as an offering for the sins of the people during the past year. And yet at the same day, the other goat was to be taken and the priest laid his hands upon it, placing upon that goat the sins of the people. And he was sent away into the wilderness to carry the sins of the people away after the sacrifice had just been sacrificed for the people. And on top of the special sacrifices, daily, weekly, monthly, and special feast sacrifices, the animal sacrifices could not forgive sin. But they were specified by God. This was a system given by God as they offered these animal sacrifices. But those sacrifices did not forgive sin. The animal sacrifices, he also says, did not purge their conscience of sin. Verse number 2 there, he says, "For they would have then ceased to be offered." And he says in verse 1, they didn't make those who approached perfect. That is, as to the cleansing of the conscience of sin. They still felt the guilt of their sins. And he said, if that sacrifice in verse 2 had provided forgiveness, then they would have ceased to be offered. They wouldn't have offered them again and again and again, as we just mentioned there. And if they had cleansed the consciousness of sin. They were no longer conscious of sin. Verse number 11 says, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin." And then notice on top of that, the animal sacrifices served only as a shadow. Not the real thing. They were only a ritual. They were only ceremonial. And they caused the people to remember their sins. In verse number 3, he says that in those sacrifices, there is a reminder. They were caused to remember sin every year. For it's impossible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Do you like to have your sins brought up again and again? You know, sometimes in a marriage relationship, you know, we do something that hurts the partner. We want them to forget it, don't we? And you know, if you get in a heated dispute, we won't call it an argument, if you get in a heated dispute, you know, first thing you know, somebody's going to bring up what you did last week or last year, something you did wrong. We like for our sins, our iniquities, our wrongs to be forgiven and forgotten. We do not like to have them brought up again and again. And then he says the animal sacrifices did not satisfy God. We didn't read that, but read on in verse number 5 and 6. "Therefore, when he came into the world," speaking about Jesus Christ, "he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire." That's talking about the animal sacrifices and offerings. Didn't please God. But he says, "A body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure." These animal sacrifices did not satisfy God. They didn't provide forgiveness of sins. And the people didn't feel forgiven. They still had the consciousness of sin. God was trying to impress upon the people that they had sinned. Trying to teach them what sin was and the terrible consequences of sin and repeatedly offering sacrifice after sacrifice for sin. But Jesus said here, when he came into the world, "A body you have prepared for me." Today, we should feel great joy and gratitude for our high priest who offered the perfect sacrifice that by it we might be perfected forever. Read on with me then in verses 10 through 18. "But by that will," that's by the will of God in Jesus coming into the world and dying for us, "but by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." That's verse 10. "And every priest," talk about in the old system, "standing, ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man," speaking of Jesus Christ, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' And then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawlessness deeds or their iniquities I will remember no more.' Now where there is remission of sin, there is no longer an offering for sin." There's no longer a need for an offering for sin, is what he's saying. If you have your sins forgiven, there's no need for an offering for sin. How we should praise God and how thankful we should be. But we have a system by which our sins can be forgiven and forgotten by God. What can we do? What can we give to God to redeem ourselves because of our sins? The animal sacrifices, the best in Old Testament time, could not redeem those, could not make themselves right in the sight of God when they disobeyed God and rejected Him. What can we give to God? What do we have? What do we possess? The world is His and all things therein, isn't it? It belongs to God. We can't give Him something. He says, "And the cattle of 1,000 hills are mine." All those animal sacrifices, all the things, the offerings that were brought to God, they already belong to Him. Truth of the matter is that we have nothing to give in order that we might be made right in the sight of God. If we do something wrong to somebody, we try to make it up to them. We may come bringing them some money to make restitution or replace what we have broken or destroyed of theirs, or try to make right what we've done wrong. How can we make right with God what we have done in rejecting Him and His rule over our lives? There's nothing we can bring to Him. But praise God, by what God has done, we can be forgiven. He gave us something as a sacrifice in our behalf. He gave His only begotten Son as a gift that our sins might be forgiven. He gave the life of His sinless Son. He was not forced to do so, but He gave it voluntarily out of love for us. Paul writes in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, "When we were without strength, or when we were helpless, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. May perhaps for a good man some would dare to die, but God demonstrates His love toward us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us." We didn't deserve it. Romans 12 and verse 1 then points out the only response that we can make. If we feel any gratitude, if we recognize the greatness of the act that God has done in sacrificing His Son for us, then surely the words of the Apostle Paul apply to us when he says that we should present our bodies as living sacrifices. "I beg you," he says, "I beseech you by the mercy, because of the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God." What can we do in response to what's been done for us? All we have, all that's ours, is our own lives that we can present back to God as a sacrifice. But notice the greatness of this sacrifice that's been made for us today, as he talks about it here. And the sacrifice of Jesus is once for all time. Notice in chapter 7 and verse 27, in making comparison to the Old Testament priests, he says that that Christ need not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for His own sins and then for the people's. "For this He did once for all when He offered up Himself." It was for one time, for all. And it was for all sin. In chapter 9 and verse number 26, here he says, "But once at the end of the ages, He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice for Himself. And as it is appointed unto men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many." So it was one time for all. It was eternal redemption. The 9th chapter and verse number 12 says, "It was not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all having obtained eternal redemption. The sacrifice of Jesus cleanses our consciousness of sin, he goes on to point out there. We, by his sacrifice, we recognize our sins are truly forgiven. Feeling that guilt being lifted from us. Knowing that we can stand right in the sight of God. Knowing that something has been offered that's of greater consequences than our disobedience and rejection of God. Something of such great value that it will make it right with God has been offered. And the Hebrew writer points out that we have had our consciences cleansed of sin. In verse 19, he says, therefore, brethren, having boldness, confidence is the meaning there, we can enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, through his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. This is what the consequences now. We can draw near to God with confidence, with a true heart and full assurance or full confidence of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, if you stand before God feeling condemned, you don't want to draw near, do you? And if your conscience hurts you and you feel guilt within the conscience, you don't want to draw near unto God. But by the sacrifice of Jesus, we can have confidence to draw near. Full assurance of faith. And then another consequence, he says in verse 23, let us hold fast then the confession of our hope without wavering. For he is who is faithful, for he who promised is faithful. We can draw near in full confidence. We do not need to feel the guilt of our sins. They've been forgiven, washed away by one sacrifice forever by the blood of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't feel condemned if we've accepted that sacrifice according to his terms. Then we shouldn't go walk around with guilt. We shouldn't walk around with anxiety, wondering if we're all right in the sight of God or not. Romans 8 and verse number 1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We shouldn't feel condemned. His blood continually washes away our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, with Jesus Christ, and the blood of his Son keeps on cleansing us from all sin. One sacrifice forever. And if we, as long as we keep on walking in the light with that sacrifice, the sins that we might commit are washed away by that great sacrifice already made in our behalf. And there should not be this feeling of guilt or condemnation. Our consciences should not hurt us. And there should be a feeling of great relief, joy, freedom, knowing that in Christ there's no condemnation. Sins washed away. How great should be our joy because of that sacrifice that was given in our behalf. But notice in the text here, further to that, he speaks about the fact that our high priest now is continually in the very presence of God. He's there for us. He does not depart from the Holy of Holies. You know, whenever in the Old Testament system, there was that Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, and the high priest went in there once a year to atone for the sins of the people. But our high priest, he says, has entered into heaven itself. Verse number 24 of chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a copy of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's there as though it were
presenting himself before the throne of God. He's there in the presence of God. He's our high priest, making intercession for us. Forgiveness is ours continually, because that high priest is there, God's literal presence. How wonderful, how great is the forgiveness that we enjoy. We can live in a state of continual forgiveness then. Sin continually washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. The result should be boldness in approaching the throne of God. Assurance of faith as we draw near to God. And holding fast to Him without any doubt, without any fear. Confidence and assurance should mark us as God's people whose sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. How wonderful to know whatever sins. You know, we started out asking about sins we might have committed last week and how we felt about those. How wonderful to know that whatever sins we might have forgiven, might have committed, we don't need to feel guilt. We don't need to feel condemnation. Washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful sacrifice has been made in our behalf. What wonderful love. But of course, this is the promise only to those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 and verse 1. How great should our appreciation be? And this morning, if you are not in Christ Jesus, why aren't you? Why would you want to walk around feeling condemnation, feeling any guilt, living in fear, when forgiveness, assurance of faith, confidence, boldness to approach God can be yours through the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross for you? Won't you respond in gratitude and appreciation? We just come through the period of Thanksgiving. There's nothing that we should be more thankful for than this great sacrifice that's made in our behalf. And because of it, our lives should be poured out to Him. Our worship is not just something of entertainment to make us feel better, but a praise unto Him for His forgiveness, the sacrifice, and for that high priest standing at the throne of God. You're subject to the invitation. Will you not come while we stand now, while we sing?